Think for a moment. Where were you on May 3rd, 2002? Some of you weren't even alive. Well, I don't know about you, but my dad and I, on that day, were getting ready to see the brand new Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. It's not so new anymore, but at the time it was. Now, growing up, as I mentioned before, Spider-Man was one of my favorite superheroes. And when I heard that the movie was coming out on my 12th birthday, I couldn't wait to see it. I think most of us just culturally know the general plot line of the series, right? But in the movie, and also in the original comic books, Spider-Man's Peter Parker's father figure, his Uncle Ben, is one of the moral heroes of the story, right? And at one point in the movie, Uncle Ben tells Peter a lesson that has always stuck with me. He says, "With great power comes great responsibility." And the reason I like this phrase is because it's actually from the gospel. If you don't know if you knew that, Christ himself iterates this point in his own words. In the Gospel of Luke, he says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." You see, Spider-Man or Peter Parker would have to grow to learn this over time, right, through much trial and error, realizing that he was to use his superhuman powers for the good and not for evil. Yet this idea of using the authority that has been entrusted to us is something, sadly, that many people tend not to take seriously. Let me explain. Now, the first reading this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. In these seven verses, Jeremiah utters dire threats against the shepherds of his day. The shepherds he's referring to are the kings, the priests, and the prophets. These groups were the leaders of the people of Judah. Because of their neglect of the flock given into their care, however, God had allowed his people to go into exile. Though the shepherds were given much responsibility by God, they had become corrupt, and the people's well-being was suffering consequently. Yet our Lord was a good God and was watching out for his people. Therefore, Jeremiah was warning the shepherds that our Lord would avenge his people and set trustworthy shepherds over them. Most importantly, Jeremiah says, "Our Lord will raise up a righteous king of David to rule his people. This shepherd of David, this Messiah, would save the people." And we know now today, of course, that Jeremiah is referring to Christ, who is the one good shepherd. Now in the gospel, St. Mark strongly brings out, showcases, the compassion and the human understanding of Christ for man. Our Lord first planned to give his apostles a well-earned rest, right? I mean, they had evidently worked hard while out on their mission, and a few days rest would restore their lost energy. I mean, having coming back from a retreat, I can relate to this. Now, Christ himself, too, must have been hard-pressed, preaching and dealing with the crowds. He was fully human. In the absence of the apostles, he had no one to help him. He, too, needed a rest in his human nature. He therefore planned that they should go to a quiet corner of the Sea of Galilee, where there was no village and where they would not be disturbed. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure it would have been a very beautiful place. Yet, as we heard, the desire of the crowds to see him and to hear him upset these plans. The people got there first. Hello. Now, he could have, you know, charitably sent them away. You know, "I'm exhausted," etc. That would have been understandable. But again, hear his human compassion. His pastoral sensitivity is displayed. Seeing these simple people of Galilee so anxious to hear about God and his mercy, he let them stay and began to preach the gospel to them, despite his tiredness. By doing this, he was teaching his future shepherds and priests, the apostles who are watching his every move, what it actually means to be a good shepherd. For the apostles would soon share in his shepherding role as the leaders of the church that he was establishing. After his ascension to heaven, they and their successors would be the visible face of the one good shepherd. Okay, so overall, the readings today focus on God as the one true shepherd, and that the shepherds who stand in his place have a great responsibility in leading his people. Now, in our modern world, we not only can see how the prophet Jeremiah's prophecy about shepherds has come true in Christ, but how it also is relatable to our own shepherds today. Now, there are many examples of shepherds in our own times, but this morning, I just want to focus briefly on two types that are related: natural shepherds and spiritual shepherds. Both of these kinds of shepherds are to model their love for their flock off of the love of the one good shepherd. So, first, natural shepherds. The natural shepherds are in charge of the flock of their home. These shepherds are the parents of a family. The Second Vatican Council that was held in the 1960s describes the family as the quote-unquote domestic church, because it is the first place where young baptized Christians learn about their faith. The family, as we know, is the fundamental building block of society. Further, the family provides the foundation of the continuation and the strength of the church among the lay faithful. The father, being the spiritual head of the family, is responsible for laying down his life for his wife and children to get to heaven. Furthermore, the mother, equal in dignity to the father, lovingly nurtures the faith life of the children through her example of devotion to her family and to her Lord. Now, just as Christ did to his flock, parents are responsible not only for teaching their children morality and the Ten Commandments, but modeling it for them too. I mean, after all, it is the parents' moral responsibility to teach their children about the sacredness of the Lord's Day and the necessity of attending Mass and frequenting the sacraments, particularly confession. Holy parents will raise holy children. On their judgment days, I think we can rightly assume that God will ask parents individually if they did all that they could to bring their children to heaven. Parents should be remembered by their children long after they're gone as being devout and God-fearing people. We should remember seeing our parents pray, for prayer really has to be a parent's strength and lifeline, as well as ours. But the children are not off the hook as well. Once we're old enough, particularly to live on our own, the responsibility rests on us. We are responsible for our daily prayer life, our knowledge of our faith, our closeness to the sacraments. We cannot put the blame on others if we are lazy in our faith, only ourselves. If we don't take care of our souls as adults, we are responsible. There is no lying or making excuses to Almighty God on our judgment day. So, the second type of shepherds, the spiritual shepherds, are the shepherds that care principally for the souls of more than one family. These shepherds are the clergy, bishops, and priests. As a father or mother is responsible to a degree for the souls of their children, a pastor particularly is responsible for the souls of all his parishioners. As parents are to nurture the faith life of their children, so does the priest feed his children spiritually each week with the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. Archbishop Fulton Sheen once wrote, "Every worldly priest hinders the church. Every saintly priest promotes it." In other words, the priest's individual holiness helps to make his people holy. It's the same way with parents and children. Now, there's an old saying that is blunt, but is worth reflecting on. It goes like this: if the parish priest is a saint, his people will be holy. If the priest is holy, but not yet a saint, his people will be good. If the priest is good, his people will be lukewarm. And if he is lukewarm, his parishioners will be bad. And if the priest himself is bad, his people will go to hell. As St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, once said, "The priest is not a priest for himself. He is a priest for you." On his judgment day, the priest too will be asked where his children are. Did he do his best to bring his flock to heaven? Or was he too afraid to speak on topics that his parishioners would get annoyed about? Right? Did he rather just make his people feel good rather than call them on to holiness to live the teachings of Christ's church fully? Did he just live comfortably, right, at the parish, using the people's money? Or did he exert himself and give of his life for their salvation? Priests will be held accountable for their actions. St. John Chrysostom would hammer in this point well. I love this quote. You ready? He once said, "The road to hell is paved with the bones of priests and monks, and the skulls of bishops are the lampposts that light the path." Ultimately, a priest or bishop, like Christ in today's gospel, is called to lay down his life for his flock by sacrificing his wants and desires for his people so they can get to heaven. And through that sacrificing, he is fulfilled and lifted up. And he has such great happiness in this life. Now, even though the natural shepherds and the spiritual shepherds have such great roles, that does not mean that they're perfect. Right? I've never met a perfect family, nor have I ever met a perfect priest or bishop yet. Just as there was corruption in the clergy in Jeremiah's day, and just as there was corruption in the clergy in Christ's day, surprise, surprise, so too there continues to be corruption in the clergy of our day. Why? Because human beings are involved. But our faith is not rooted in our leaders, but in Christ. Yet we recognize that Christ works through our clergy nonetheless, even when they're imperfect. It's beautiful. Likewise, just as there were imperfect fathers and mothers and children in Jeremiah's day and in Christ's day, so too there are imperfect families in our day and perfect parents. Many families are split, right, between two households these days. My family was, growing up. Everyone carries different wounds from their childhood. So corruption and imperfection is nothing new. Nonetheless, whenever a priest or a parent or a family member or even a close friend perhaps hurts us or surprises us, we could be tempted to lose our faith, right, that inner, or our inner peace. Yet that is not what our Lord desires for us. We are not to give up on family life or on our spiritual shepherds when we're let down, just as we do not give up on the institution of marriage simply because there are bad marriages, we do not give up on the church because of bad leaders. Instead, in times of angst, we must run to the good shepherd who can never let us down. After all, he is our peace, as St. Paul said in today's second reading. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And having been strengthened by him, he wants us to bring his peace to others. As the second reading was talking about, we are to be agents of his peace. You could say that he wants us to share in the shepherding role of uniting his flock instead of separating it. Sometimes, through no fault of our own, a family member does not want to reciprocate that peace. But you know what? At the end of the day, we can rest at ease knowing we did our best. With great power comes great responsibility. That saying of Uncle Ben applies to all of us. Families and clergymen have great responsibilities in leading their flock to heaven. It is a responsibility that should not be taken lightly. Yet God's grace is always there. When there is imperfection in our families and our churches, right, that does not mean we should lose faith. Instead, we should always strive for unity and peace and reconciliation. The Lord's got this. And so, on this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we must ask ourselves, are we spiritually doing our part to shepherd our domestic church at home? Or are we letting them shepherd themselves? Amen.